live from Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Today, we welcome back Lee Strobel to the program. Lee is the author of many books, including The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, and Surviving a Spiritual Mismatch in Marriage with his wife, Leslie. One of his latest books, The Case for a Creator, has recently released its companion student edition. And we'll be talking about this and so much more today. So if you want to join in the conversation, just call us toll-free at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. Now, getting us started on this edition of the Bible Answer Man is our host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And I think it's so appropriate that we have Lee Strobel on the air with us today, particularly in light of the fact that Time Magazine, the August 15th, 2005 edition, August 15th, only one day passed, the cover story is entitled Evolution Wars, The Push to Teach Intelligent Design Raises a Question, Does God Have a Place in Science Class? Now, this article is reminiscent of many articles that I have read in Time Magazine. I want to spend a little time with Lee talking about Time Magazine and what it's communicating here. But before I get to Lee, I want to point out that Martin Nowak is a Harvard professor of mathematics and evolutionary biology, and he's quoted in Time Magazine. He describes himself, by the way, as a person of faith. And he says he sees no contradiction between Darwin's theory and belief in God. He specifically says that science does not produce any evidence against God. Science and religion ask different questions. In other words, in Nowak's make-believe world, science and religion should be equal, mutually respecting partners, each the master of its own domain. Well, in reality, that kind of compartmentalization works only in fairy tales. In the real world, what you believe scientifically has a direct impact on your religious persuasions. Let me give you an example. The evolutionary paradigm led Darwin inexorably to a religion of racism and sexism. Now, that's not just a statement I'm making out of thin air. You can find that in his own writings. For example, in The Descent of Man, he speculated that at some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of men will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. And under the subheading, Differences in Mental Powers of the Two Sexes, he went as far as to attempt to persuade devotees that, quote, the chief distinction in the intellectual powers of the two sexes is shown by man's attaining to a higher eminence in whatever he takes up than can a woman. Of course, in sharp contrast to this kind of dogma, Scripture makes it crystal clear that all humanity is created in the image of God, and there is essential equality between the sexes. So, look, these are not distinct categories. They're overlapping. Much more on that if you go to equip.org. Tomorrow we're going to have a blog up on this, as well as an article that I wrote a number of years ago in response to Stephen Jay Gould in 1999. So equip.org, you can get a lot of resources that will help you deal with these kinds of issues, because there are a lot of statements that are being made that have little basis in reality. And we need to be able to look at these statements critically and unpack them and show the fallacies of the statements. And today's broadcast, as well as tomorrow's broadcast, Lee and I are going to look at some of the statements made in Time Magazine, and we're going to expose the flaws of the statements themselves. Now, ultimately, what I want you to do is this. I want you to call us and get a copy of Lee's book, The Case for a Creator. Now, there's a special The Case for a Creator. There's an adult version, but there's also a version that is absolutely ideally suited for kids going back to school, even as we speak. Lee is a journalist, investigate scientific evidence that points towards God. And this book is very unique, and I think the kind of book that will inoculate your kids against the rhetoric that is not only consistent with what I've just described in Time magazine, but the kind of rhetoric we are hearing from all kinds of sources, particularly in light of President Bush's statements in regard to intelligent design. We'll talk about that on the broadcast. If you have comments, you can give us a call at 888-ASK-HANK. Lee, as always, it's just great to have you with us.
Well, thanks, Hank. Great to be with you by phone. Wish I could be there in person with you.
You know, one of the things I want to do, Lee, before we get started, is just talk about your journey, because sure. At one time, you would have been writing the kind of articles that we find in Time magazine. Now you have come to the position that there is a creator God, that we're accountable to him, and it's made all the difference in the world to you.
Exactly. And when you mentioned kids going back to school, I just sort of flash back to when I was a youngster. And there were really three steps that led me into atheism. The first one was when I was in junior high school, and I would ask all those tough questions about God. How can there be a loving God if there's so much pain and suffering in the world, things like that. And nobody was willing to engage with me and help me find answers, so I began to suspect there were no answers and that Christianity doesn't hold up against scrutiny. And then freshman year in biology in high school, I learned about evolution. And I walked away saying, well, if God isn't needed for the origin and the diversity of life, then he's out of a job. I mean, I don't need to believe in him anymore because science has replaced him. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing I took was a course taught by an atheist on the historical Jesus, in which he tried to debunk the New Testament as being reliable. And so these things led me into atheism. And I think as so many kids going to school, you know, starting back this month and early next month, who are going to be sitting in classrooms and are going to be hearing about evolution, and who knows what's going to happen to them. And so that's one of the reasons that I did the student edition of The Case for a Creator, was to help these kids be ready to deal with the kind of things they're going to be hearing.
Hey, Lee, talk for a moment about the way the book is designed, because it is developed in such a way that it's very user-friendly for kids going back to school.
Yeah, I worked with Jane Vogel, who's an expert on how to communicate to young people, and she helped me put this into terms that young people could understand. In fact, we had a panel of young kids, about a dozen or so of them, to review the manuscript in advance to make sure they could understand it and it made sense to them. And the book kind of does two things, as my adult version does, The Case for a Creator. First of all, it demonstrates that the grandest claims of Darwinism, that we all emerge from, you know, one common ancestor and natural selection acting on random variation explains all the diversity of life that we see. It points out the flaws in that theory, but then it does something else as well. It paints the positive case, showing that evidence from cosmology, which is the study of the origin of the universe, and astronomy and physics and biochemistry and genetics points powerfully in a positive way toward the conclusion that there is a creator. So we have negative evidence, which tends to dismantle the grandest claims of Darwinism, but we have more than that these days. In the last 50 years, there have been a series of scientific discoveries which point powerfully and persuasively toward the existence of God.
Lee, we've reintroduced the six-pack of Strobel's. we're wanting to get people to get six of these, keep one for themselves in their own home, and then give five of them away. So we're making six of them available for under $40, $39.99. You can get a standalone one copy for $8.99, and also we have a creator. A Case for a Creator toolkit, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But again, let's talk for a moment about putting these into the hands of people. What can happen? Can we actually make a difference if we're equipped? Because on the one hand, we want to legislate morality, and I'm all for that. If you can't legislate morality, what can you legislate?
Yeah.
But I'm also very concerned that oftentimes Christians simply do not have answers for the good questions that are being asked in our culture. And as a result of them, we can't use our answers as springboards or opportunities for sharing the truth and grace and love that only Christ can bring to the human heart.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I think it's critically important for parents. If you've got a junior high or high school student in your home, or potential one, to yourself become educated, to read the case for a creator so that you can understand the evidence that points against Darwinism and toward the existence of God, so that you're prepared to discuss it with your students. And then also to equip the students themselves with the student edition to help them be able to have resources so that when they hear things taught, they go, wait a minute, that's not true, or wait a minute, what about this, that, and the other thing? And I think it's important as well for parents to be involved, to ask your, you know, if you have a kid taking a biology class, ask to look at the textbook and take a look at it and see what it says, because so many textbooks explicitly rule out the possibility of God by saying this is a random, undirected process. And, of course, it wouldn't make sense that God would direct an undirected process, and it refers to it as a purposeless process. Well, how could God have purpose to something that's purposeless? And so read the textbooks, and if it really is making these kind of claims, I think to bring it to the attention of the school board and to raise this issue and become involved. This is happening in school boards from Ohio and Pennsylvania and Minnesota, Kansas, all over the country, where parents are rising up and saying, wait a minute. You know, our kids are being taught something that is not scientifically established, and they're being taught it as scientific truth. And you know, we need to stand up and say, let's make sure we're teaching our kids what we know to be true, not what some theory tells us.
So we're talking about the Case for a Creator, the student edition as an evangelistic tool. You can get a 6-pack. You can keep one, give 5 away. They're available when you give us a call at 888-7000-CRI, or when you log into the World Wide Web at equip.org, or of course you can write us at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. I want to get you to react a moment to some of the things that are being said in Time magazine. Here's a quote in Time. Again, this is the current edition of Time magazine, August 15th. British biologist Richard Dawkins, who is a professor of public understanding of science at Oxford, says this, that advocates of intelligent design do not play by the rules of science. They don't publish papers in peer-reviewed journals, and their hypothesis cannot be tested by research and the study of evidence. Indeed, Dawkins goes on to compare the idea of teaching intelligent design with teaching flat earthism. Perfectly fine in a history class, he says, but not in science. If you give the idea that there are two schools of thought within science, he says, one that says the earth is round and one that says the earth is flat, you are misleading children. Your response?
Well, let's dismantle what he just said. By the way, Alistair McGrath, who has a doctorate from Cambridge, I believe it is, in molecular biology and also a PhD in theology, has written a new book in which he critiques Dawkins and does a tremendous job. It's called Dawkins' God, and I highly recommend it as a way to have this other huge intellect to critique Dawkins and point out the flaws in his reasoning. But, for instance, he says that the advocates of intelligent design are not published in peer-reviewed journals. That's just false. That is just not true. Michael Behe has been published repeatedly in scientific peer-reviewed journals. Guillermo Gonzalez, same thing. But let me tell you what happened recently, and this is illustrative of the whole problem, because it's the Darwinists who control these peer-reviewed journals. There was a professor with a PhD from Cambridge University, Dr. Stephen Meyer. He's at the Discovery Institute. He wrote a piece that was published in a peer-reviewed journal, and it dealt with the intelligent design issue. Well, the guy who published, or the editor of this peer-reviewed journal, is named Richard von Sternberg. He has 2 PhDs in biology. He works at the Smithsonian Institution. And by the way, he's not an advocate of intelligent design. He just thought that the arguments made scientifically and philosophically in this argument deserved to be considered by the broader scientific community. After he allowed this to happen, he was attacked by his peers at the Smithsonian Institution. In fact, the U.S. Office of Special Counsel has now issued a letter saying that he was indeed personally investigated, his competence was attacked, misinformation was disseminated about him, allegations that were made against him were later determined to be false, and a hospital work environment was created, all as a backlash because this scientist with 2 PhDs in biology looked at this article and said it deserves to be published in a peer-reviewed journal. So this is the kind of thing that scientists in the intelligent design movement are facing.
Yeah, and of course, this whole notion, Lee, that Dawkins is talking about with respect to flat earthism,
yeah.
I mean, he probably doesn't even realize this, but he's teaching an urban legend.
Yeah.
In truth, nobody has ever believed in flat
yeah.
earthism in the real sense. I mean,
right.
empirical evidence points away from flat earthism or even the idea that the universe was small. In fact, in the Middle Ages, where this urban legend comes from, there was an authoritative astronomy text, Ptolemy's Almagest, which absolutely refutes the idea of flat earthism. So that is an urban legend, unfortunately, that people like Dawkins keep parading in front of us as though it's true.
Yeah.
Perhaps someone should educate him on urban legends. A lot of us unwittingly communicate them when we should not. Lee Strobel is going to be back on the other side of the break. I'm going to ask him a question about beginning with the bang, the evidence of cosmology. Is the Big Bang good news or bad news for Christians? All of that's coming up on the other side of the break. Lee Strobel will be right back.
We'll be back with our guest, Lee Strobel and Hank, in just a few minutes. If you'd like to order any of the products discussed today, our resource consultants are standing by at 888-7000-CRI. They can help with any of your resource needs. That number again is 888-7000-CRI. You can also find us on the internet by logging on to our website at www.equip.org. Stay with us. There's more of our conversation coming up right after the break.
Has this happened to you?
There is no God. Science has proved it.
What about the missing links?
Science and faith don't mix. Christianity is superstition.
If you've ever found yourself cornered in a discussion like this to prove there is a God, you know there are many points of argument that a non-believer raises. Equip yourself to provide them with the facts. Pick up your copy of The Case for a Creator by Lee Strobel. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. Strobel utilizes his journalistic background to investigate the evidence that points toward God. He interviews an array of experts from various scientific fields, paleontology, physics, astronomy, genetics, and more. Their conclusions provide excellent cases for intelligent design. The Case for a Creator. Your copy is waiting for you when you call CRI at 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find The Case for a Creator on our website at equip.org.
I'm full of thankfulness to my Lord for such a ministry as you.
I can't wait to listen to it Monday through Friday.
Do you ever wonder if your donations to CRI can make that big a difference? Well, let these comments testify that it makes all the difference. But we can't conduct this ministry alone. We need your prayerful and financial involvement as well. Jesus said to store up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor thief can take it away. What better way to invest in eternity than to help CRI change the lives of thousands every day with one phone call to CRI at 888-7000-CRI and making a donation? You can be a part of this life-changing movement. When you give a financial gift to CRI, we'd like to send you one of Hank's newest books as our token of thanks. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also give online at equip.org.
Thank you, and God bless you.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is, the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near.
Imagine a letter that could tell your future, written in code. Deciphering it could set you free. What's inside reveals the truth about the end of the world, but possessing it could kill you. The Last Disciple by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. Available from CRI by calling 888-7000-CRI. or by ordering directly from our website at www.equip.org.
To join in today's conversation with our guest, Lee Strobel, you can call in toll-free at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
And I'm talking to Lee Strobel. He is an award-winning author. In fact, he was awarded the Book of the Year Award at the Christian Booksellers Association just recently. So this guy knows how to write, and we want to put his materials into your hands. For example, The Case for a Creator, which we're featuring today, student edition, $8.99, but it is worth $1 million to your child. And it is available through the Christian Research Institute when you give us a call at 888-7000-CRI. You can also order online at equip.org. And, of course, we mentioned earlier on in the broadcast that you can get six of them for $39.99. We're trying to make them inexpensive for you so that you can give them to people as an evangelistic tool. We also have the Case for a Creator Toolkit. And you can talk to our resource consultants about that. Only $25, and includes The Case for a Creator, the student edition, Defeating Darwinism by Opening Minds, Philip Johnson. I've had him on the broadcast quite a number of times. And Fatal Flaws by yours truly, What Evolutionists Don't Want You to Know. All of that is available as a package. It's a toolkit. And $25 will put that into your hands. Again, give us a call at 888-7000-CRI or log into the World Wide Web at equip.org. Going back to Lee's book, the student edition of The Case for a Creator, Chapter 2. It's entitled Beginning with a Bang, The Evidence of Cosmology. And the question I wanted to ask, and I teased this before the break, Lee, is the Big Bang, if you believe in Big Bang cosmology, is that good news or bad news for Christians?
Well, I think it's good news for Christians. In fact, there's a one astrophysicist who said that the unease with which it's been greeted by some atheistic physicists indicates that this is not good news for the atheist, but it's good news for believers. And the reason for that is that what we've seen over the last 50 years has been a series of scientific discoveries that have pointed toward a beginning for our universe. Now, we can debate when that was exactly, but virtually every scientist now believes that the universe did have a beginning at a point in time. Now, time itself had a beginning at that point. Now, what this allows us to do is go back to an argument that was actually first originated by a Muslim philosopher many centuries ago, and it is basically this. Whatever begins to exist has a cause, and we would all see that as being self-evident. If something begins to exist, it must have a cause. We now believe, virtually every scientist concedes, that the universe began to exist. Therefore, the universe has a cause. That is a powerful argument for the existence of a creator who, by the way, we can also, through logical extrapolation of the data, we can also see this must be an immaterial being, must be intelligent, must be powerful, must be one as opposed to many, and down the line. And what we see is there are a lot of qualities of this creator that we can logically infer from the scientific data, and I do so in my book, that show us a portrait of a creator who looks suspiciously like the God of the Bible.
Lee, going on to Chapter 3, an intriguing title, Exploring Evolution, A New Look at Old Ideas. And
yeah.
I want to go through some of those with some rapidity. You have the Miller experiment, and all of
right.
us can remember back to the time we heard about the Miller experiment. Life created in a test tube.
Exactly. There was an experiment in 1953 in which this graduate student at the University of Chicago created a flask in which he put the atmosphere that he believed the early Earth was composed of. He shot electricity through it to simulate lightning, and then lo and behold, some red goo developed that contained amino acids, which are the building block of life. And Hank, when I heard this, told to me as a 14-year-old freshman at Prospect High School in Mount Prospect, Illinois, that is the first moment I began to consider myself an atheist. Because I said, wait a minute, if you're telling me that it is easy to create life artificially in a naturalistic way, without any resort to a creator, then God is out of a job. And that's how powerful some of this evidence can be to an uninformed mind. Because what I wasn't told is, in the succeeding years, scientists concluded that the atmosphere was nothing like what Stanley Miller had supposed when he did that experiment. And if you use the atmosphere of the early Earth that's now believed to be accurate, you do not get those same results. You do not get those amino acids. And so his experiment is virtually meaningless from a scientific viewpoint. And yet, how many people have taken steps down the road toward atheism because of outdated information they were taught in school?
Yeah, that's a good example. And by the way, all the examples that I'm talking to Lee about right now included in the student edition of The Case for a Creator. Another one which has boggled the minds of many students, in fact, led them in the wrong direction, is Barra's blunder.
Yeah, this is an example of someone who was trying to make an argument in favor of evolution and said, you know what, look at the Corvette automobile, and over time you can see how it has changed and evolved to what it is today. And the counter-argument to that is, wait a minute, that is an intelligently designed machine that had blueprints that were created by intelligent engineers in order to create this car. This is not a car that was created in 1953 when it first came out, and rust and wind and so forth have somehow caused it to morph by itself in, through succeeding generations into the version we see today. That's not what happened. Each one of them was specifically designed by an engineer. And so it became an argument in favor of an intelligent designer instead of toward evolution, as he had intended.
Another example you have in your book, and I included this in my book, Fatal Flaws, as well, is Archaeopteryx, the missing link. I mean, so many people have pointed to Archaeopteryx as the missing link between reptiles and birds, and yet we have now determined that it cannot be. In fact, Stephen Jay Gould, before he died, admitted that it played no part whatsoever as a link between dinosaurs and birds.
That's exactly right. But what happened was, when I studied it in school, it just became another bit of evidence that convinced me that the grandest claims of Darwin are true and that therefore God is out of a job. What I hadn't learned was, of course, later evidence and analysis showing that this is not a missing link in any way. And there are other fakes that were unearthed in China that also were claimed to be missing links. It turned out to be actually faked by people. But even the Archaeopteryx, this bird that was supposedly part bird and part reptile, is nothing of the sort.
And one of my favorites is the ape to man icon. You find this on the covers of textbooks, of magazine articles. You find it everywhere. And the icon has become so ubiquitous that it's almost become the argument in and of itself. In fact, from ape to man was a History Channel special watched just a few weeks ago by 2.4 million people just on the first night. And, of course, this was full of propaganda and false information, fiction, fantasy, fraud. What's wrong with the ape-to-man icon?
Well, you know, I'll just quote Henry G., who's the chief science writer for Nature magazine, which is certainly not a magazine that is apt to take pot shots at evolution. And he just took a look at this. He said, look, the intervals of time that separate fossils are so huge that we cannot say anything definite about their possible connection through ancestry and descent. He said that this whole picture of human evolution supposedly built on these fossils is a completely, and I'm quoting him, a completely human invention created after the fact, shaped to accord with human prejudices. He said to take a line of fossils and claim that they represent a lineage is not a scientific hypothesis that can be tested, but an assertion that carries the same validity as a bedtime story. Amusing, perhaps even instructive, but not scientific. I mean, that's the chief science writer for Nature magazine.
Lee, another thing that I was very intrigued with is the anthropic principle. In other words, that the universe is fine-tuned for human existence. You deal with that, I think, in Chapter 3. But I think this is one of the really important points that students need to make part of their repertoire so that when they come into contact with people who say that everything is a function of time and chance, they have an answer.
Exactly. I think, Hank, that if you combine the argument we made a minute ago for cosmology, that whatever begins to exist has a cause, the universe began to exist, therefore the universe has a cause, and you combine that with the discoveries over the last 50 years by physicists that the universe is so finely tuned on a razor's edge to allow life to happen, you just put those two things together, I think you've got an incredibly powerful case right there for the existence of a creator. We have a universe that is so finely tuned it boggles the mind. Just take one example, and that's the force of gravity. Force of gravity could have been set in a variety of different ways, but it's set at a specific value that allows life to exist. Now, if you imagined a ruler that went across the entire known universe, billions of light years, broken down in one-inch increments, that would represent the what plausibly could be taken as the range at which gravity could have been set. In other words, it could have been set anywhere along that ruler all the way across the universe, but it's set at a specific point where life is possible. Now, if you were to move the force of gravity, change that value, move it along that dial just 1 inch compared to the width of the entire universe, life becomes impossible in our universe. That is how finely tuned gravity is. And that's just one of many examples of this fine tuning that cannot be explained by mere coincidence, but really does point toward an intelligent designer.
As we close out this segment of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and before we go to your questions, and by the way, if you have a question for Lee, you can give us a call at 888-ASK-HANK, and we'll get your question on the air. But as we close out this segment, one of the features of this book, again, we're talking about The Case for a Creator, the student edition, is decision time. Is there a case for a creator? Why that chapter in the book?
I'm sorry, there was a glitch in my line.
Chapter 7, Decision Time, is there a case for a creator? Why did you include that chapter in the book?
Absolutely, because at some point when we examine the evidence, we need to come to a verdict. We need to come to a decision. We need to come to a point where we look at the evidence, and just like a jury doesn't look at the evidence and go home, they actually vote and they reach a verdict. And I think we have to do that as individuals, to look at the evidence. Where does the arrow of the evidence point most powerfully? Does it point in the direction of evolution explaining the origin and diversity of life, or does it point more powerfully toward an intelligent designer? And I think, you know, if you're going to maintain that, you know, evolutionary theory as articulated by Darwin and his successors is true, then you have to believe that nothing produces everything, that non-life produces life, that randomness produces fine-tuning, that chaos produces information, that unconsciousness produces consciousness, and that non-reason produces reason. Now, if you want to believe that stuff, go ahead, but that's not where the evidence points. The evidence of cosmology, physics, biology, genetics, points powerfully in the direction of an intelligent designer. And we need to come to a conclusion, who is that intelligent designer? I think the evidence of science points toward the God of the Bible. And we're accountable to him. We can know him personally, and we can spend eternity with him.
And we are so fortunate to have one of the great writers, not only in our broadcast, but writing in our epoch of time. Lee Strobel has written The Case for a Creator, and it's available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We have the student edition, which we're featuring, but there's also an adult version, although I will tell you this, Lee, reading the student edition was pretty great in and of itself, even for an adult.
Good. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of adults that could benefit from the student edition and maybe go on to the full-fledged book later on. But we want to use this as an evangelistic tool, and that's why another six-pack of Strobel's on the way for $39.99. Six of these books available to you for $39.99. When you give us a call at 888-7000 CRI, talk to one of our resource consultants, or when you log into the World Wide Web at equip.org, or when you simply write us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. On the other side of the break, we are going to take your calls. There's a great call up here on the board right now from Brian in La Canada, California, and this is about the ID movement and the question, does it promote only one religion? We'll ask Lee to respond to that on the other side of the break. We'll be right back with Lee Strobel. Please don't touch that dial.
Hank will be back with our guest Lee Strobel in just a bit. In the meantime, jot this down, www.equip.org. That's CRI's website, and there you'll find a tremendous amount of information and resources on a great many subjects central to the Christian faith. You can also call us toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-700-0274. Or write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271.
There's more ahead with our guest, Lee Strobel. So stay with us.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Each journal gives you the information you need to know about what you believe. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Is there a definitive Bible translation? The journal gives you input on what makes a Bible version good, bad, or ugly. What is the relationship between the Christian faith and psychology? Can psychology be loyal to the Christian faith and therefore truly help those with emotional problems? The latest journal brings you an accurate critique. Can Mormon doctrines, such as baptism for the dead, really be found in the writings of the early Christians? Or is this Mormon heresy being passed off as orthodoxy? Find out in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Get 6 issues for $30 or 12 issues for $54. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or find out more on our website at equip.org.
Has this happened to you?
There is no God. Science has proved it.
What about the missing links?
Science and faith don't mix. Christianity is superstition.
If you've ever found yourself cornered in a discussion like this to prove there is a God, you know there are many points of argument that a non-believer raises. Equip yourself to provide them with the facts. Pick up your copy of The Case for a Creator by Lee Strobel. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. Strobel utilizes his journalistic background to investigate the evidence that points toward God. He interviews an array of experts from various scientific fields, paleontology, physics, astronomy, genetics, and more. Their conclusions provide excellent cases for intelligent design. The Case for a Creator. Your copy is waiting for you when you call CRI at 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find The Case for a Creator on our website at equip.org.
How are your Bible answer skills?
Daddy, what is heaven like?
Questions about your faith can come from all sorts of places.
Dad, what distinguishes Christianity from other religions?
On all sorts of topics.
Okay, smart guy, if there is a God, why does he allow bad things to happen to good people?
Are you ready to answer these questions? The most important questions about your faith demand the best answers available. Now Hank Hanegraaff delivers them in the Bible Answer Book. Hank Hanegraaff has taken the hottest faith-related questions and given you the best responses on a range of spiritual, doctrinal, and cultural topics, each meticulously answered by Hank himself. Topics range from salvation and evangelism to spiritual growth in church fellowship to questions on spiritual warfare and much more. The Bible Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff, available in hardback or audiobook. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or order online at equip.org. Because you never know when you'll be the one with the answer.
It's time to rejoin the conversation now with our guest, Lee Strobel, and the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
And before I go back to Lee, a quick reminder that Lee is going to be with us for an extra hour once we go off the air, and we'll continue having this discussion, taking some of your calls. So if you're hanging on, we'll try to get you either in this hour or in the hour that's coming up, and then we'll play that on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. A lot of very exciting things that we're going to talk about. Again, we're going to, in part, debunk some of the statements made in the current issue of Time magazine, particularly statements made by Steven Pinker, who's a professor at Harvard University, which are outrageous, to say the least. I'm going to go right to the phone lines now with Lee and respond to some of the questions that people are calling in with. This is Brian in California. Brian, you're on with Lee Strobel.
Hi, Brian. Hey. I just had a question. I'm taking a political science class right now, and this whole thing about intelligent design, I guess the professor brought it up. Uh-huh. And, she was saying that. Basically, she was saying, like, separation of church, and she was arguing for the separation of church and state, and how if we teach, I mean, we can't, I guess, teaching intelligent design would be, like, would eventually lead to, like, about, like, which religion is this God, if God exists, and like how we should keep religion out of the classroom. I mean, I just wanted to know how I'm supposed to like argue against that, or what I'm supposed to.
Well, that's a common objection that's made, and I think it deserves a good answer. And that's essentially this. This is not an issue of faith versus science. This is an issue of science versus science. And when we have credible scientists, in fact, we have 400 of them now from prestigious institutions where they got their doctorates, like Cambridge and Berkeley and Princeton and Harvard and Yale, who are signing scientific dissents from Darwinism, saying that we're skeptical of Darwinism as the explanation of the diversity of life. So we have this controversy going on, not on the basis of faith versus science, but science versus science. And so I think that, personally, students ought to be free to pursue the evidence wherever it points. Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize twice, said that science ought to be the search for truth. We ought not to rule out at the outset certain things and say, those, we cannot go there, we can't investigate this. We can only look in certain predetermined areas. I think students ought to be freed up to investigate the evidence wherever it takes them. And if it takes them in the direction of an intelligent designer because of the scientific evidence, then I think they ought to be willing to consider that.
So we're willing to say then, Lee, that intelligent design is really science with an open mind. It's science that's not limited by philosophical naturalism. We're saying that if supernatural causes should be invoked, then they should be invoked as a result of the evidence. If naturalistic causes are sufficient, then we'll follow those.
Exactly. I think you just coined a new thing, a new phrase there, Hank, that I really like, which is intelligent design is science with an open mind. And I think that succinctly puts it down, because why should we close our minds at the outset and say, I'm going to rule out the possibility of a creator, I'm going to rule out the mere possibility of an intelligent designer or the supernatural at the outset. Now, bring on the evidence. That is closing our minds to a possible a course of scientific pursuit. And we ought to have the freedom to have an open mind and to investigate cosmology and physics and biology and genetics and so forth. And if the student says, wait a minute, I believe this evidence is pointing in the direction of an intelligent designer, the most logical conclusion based on what the scientific data is that there's an intelligent designer, we ought not to shut that student's mind and shut his mouth and tell him he can't talk about those kind of things in public schools.
In essence, what we are forwarding with that kind of thinking is an idiosyncratic brand of fundamentalism that rejects the supernatural a priori, prior to examination. And unfortunately, so much of it is laced with dogmatic assertions instead of defensible arguments. Here's a good example of that, Lee. Here's President Bush. He says, I think that part of education is to expose people to different schools of thought. You're asking me whether or not people ought to be exposed to different ideas? The answer is yes. That's President Bush.
Yeah.
Now, the response to that is from the American Federation of Teachers. This statement on Bush's comments, and this comes from Antonia Cortez. She says, President Bush's misinformed comments on intelligent design signal a huge step backward for science education in the United States. The president's endorsement of such a discredited, non-scientific view is akin to suggesting that students be taught the quote-unquote alternative theory that the Earth is flat or that the sun revolves around the Earth. Intelligent design does not belong in science classrooms because it's not science.
Yeah, and this is the kind of stuff we get from Time Magazine and other publications that print these dogmatic statements without looking at them and holding these people's feet to the fire and saying, is what they're saying true? And what I see so often is the refusal by the mainstream media to investigate this issue thoroughly. Let me give you a quick example. I gave a talk in Chicago last year based on my book, The Case for a Creator, in which I spent 45 minutes building a case of science for the existence of a creator. There was a French atheistic journalist who was in attendance. He wrote an article that he mentioned my talk for Atlantic Monthly magazine. He completely ignored every argument I had made for 45 minutes from the scientific evidence for the existence of God, and then he makes up an argument that I never made, which is an absurd argument, and attributes it to me. Now, this is the kind of thing we're battling in the media, where we're not getting fair coverage on this issue. When they have Cal Thomas and George Will debating this on Nightline, they're great guys, but they're not scientists. And you know, let's go after the people who are, have the credentials to be able to really debate this issue so we can hear both sides and we can pay attention to these 400-plus scientists who've actually gone out on a professional limb by signing a statement that says scientific dissent from Darwinism.
But we can be part of that process. I think there's a tipping point here. If enough Christians are informed with the facts, Darwinism, I think, would be defeated in an age of scientific enlightenment.
I think you're absolutely right, Hank. And I think we're starting to see sparks of that around the country in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Kansas, Minnesota. And, you know, great inroads are being made. They actually, in Ohio, for instance, passed a rule that students must be able to think critically about evolution. Now, that seems kind of a benign statement. You know, well, of course we want our students to think critically about everything, especially evolution, you know, ask questions and see the flaws and so forth. But that was battled by the Darwinists who did not want students to be able to think critically about it. And, you know, they want to present their, they want to indoctrinate the students by not telling them the full story of what the evidence for Darwinism is and the evidence against it is. You know, I've always said I don't want to see Darwinism not taught in public schools. I want to see more Darwinism taught in public schools. Because I don't want just the case for Darwin to be presented. I want students to hear the other side. I want them to hear the evidence that points against it. Because I think if they take the full body of evidence regarding Darwinism, they'll walk away, like these scientists, skeptical that it does explain the origin and diversity of life.
What we want is education. If you take all the information on one side of a ledger and you repress it, you take all of the evidence on the other side of the ledger and you present it, that's not... not education. You want to take both models and let the facts speak for themselves. Let's see how well the two models hold up under the scrutiny of empirical science. That's the point. And look, folks, this is not enough in terms of radio sound bites for you. It's not enough to listen to this program and get all worked up and say, you know, I agree with them. You need to be equipped. And that's why we're bringing good resources to you. The Case for a Creator, one of those resources that I believe in wholeheartedly. That's why I promote it with a lot of passion. It's by Lee Strobel. You can get the book. It's only $8.99. But you can also get, and we're making a special offer for you, again, so you can give this away as an evangelistic tool to other kids. So for $39.99, you can get six of these. Keep one, give five away. I'll tell you, this is not just for students to read. If you're a parent, read it yourself. It's a wonderful resource. It's just well developed. Again, it is developed on the basis of people who actually know what students read and how they read and how they study. So it's just an invaluable resource. It's available when you give us a call at 888-7000-CRI or log into the World Wide Web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. James, Tulsa, Oklahoma. You're on with Lee Strobel.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I had a discussion that turned into a little bit of a debate with a pastor here locally over what he was teaching in his church. He was teaching that there is no hell, that there is no accountability, that he believed in a God that would not send anybody to hell. And we went back and forth on the issue. And his basis for that argument was that the Bible, especially Genesis, was just poetic writings that he believed in Darwinism, except for the fact that it was not chance. It was God who used evolution to create the universe and human beings. And so I wanted to get your thoughts on that and maybe how I could go back to him, because the scripture that I've thrown back to him has just not seemed to sway him, and I don't know that I ever will, but just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, certainly the idea that God used evolution to create is not the Darwinism that's being taught to our kids. I think that's clear. Stephen Meyer, PhD from Cambridge, says contemporary Darwinism does not envision a God-guided process of evolutionary change. In fact, Darwin himself recognized that if you had an omnipotent deity, if you had God, that would undermine his theory, because if you admit God into the process, then Darwin said God would ensure that only the right variations occurred and natural selection would be superfluous. So here you have Darwin saying, no, you know, the idea of you can have God or you can have natural selection, but not both. And I think that's important, especially as we look at Genesis, which, you know, talks about God as creator. And it's unambiguous that God was the creator. And I think the most fascinating thing of contemporary science is that Genesis today, and this idea that there is an intelligent designer, a creator behind the universe, is more supported today by scientific evidence than ever before in the history of humankind. And so Christians can stand up straight and hold their head back and say, you know what? The evidence of science supports my belief. It doesn't undermine them. It isn't contrary to them. But the idea that there is a creator who is active in the universe, who specifically created life and humans in his image, is well supported and warranted by the scientific data.
Tomorrow on the broadcast, Lee Strobel will be back, and we're going to be talking about one of the statements made by Harvard University professor Steven Pinker, where he makes an argument against intelligent design. He says our own bodies are riddled with quirks that no competent engineer would have planned, but that disclose a history of trial and error tinkering. The moral design of nature is as bungled as its engineering design. He goes on to say, if an intelligent designer lived on Earth, people would break his windows. We're going to talk about Steven Pinker's remarks on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You won't want to miss it. We'll also be taking calls. Again, we're going to stay here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue with my dialogue with Lee Strobel and we'll continue taking your calls. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. If you're dialing in the number in the U.S. or Canada, 888-ASK-HANK, do get The Case for a Creator available when you dial 888-7000-CRI or log into the World Wide Web at equip.org. And do remember, this is listener-supported radio. We need people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. If you can join the Bible Answer Man support team, we deeply appreciate it. Again, a call to 888-7000-CRI. You can join the Bible Answer Man support team, or you can do it online at equip.org. Thanks for joining us with Lee Strobel today. He's going to be back on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Make sure you don't miss that broadcast.
We may be coming to the close of today's show, but we're not done with Lee Strobel yet. He'll be back again tomorrow for more stimulating conversation. If you'd like to purchase any of the materials talked about in today's program, like Lee's book, The Case for a Creator, just call one of our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-700-0274. To see all these resources on the internet, check out our website at www.equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of free articles on a wide variety of subjects. That's www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Has this happened to you?
There is no God. Science has proved it.
What about the missing links?
Science and faith don't mix. Christianity is superstition.
If you've ever found yourself cornered in a discussion like this to prove there is a God, you know there are many points of argument that a non-believer raises. Equip yourself to provide them with the facts. Pick up your copy of The Case for a Creator by Lee Strobel. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. Strobel utilizes his journalistic background to investigate the evidence that points toward God. He interviews an array of experts from various scientific fields, paleontology, physics, astronomy, genetics, and more. Their conclusions provide excellent cases for intelligent design. The Case for a Creator. Your copy is waiting for you when you call CRI at 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find The Case for a Creator on our website at equip.org.